Amen. Hey, everybody. It's good to see. It's good to be here with this fine group of people making it happen. If you're at home right now, just give these guys a round of applause for making it happen every Wednesday, right? And yourselves. Amen. So you guys were giving you a big round of applause, even though you couldn't hear it. Man, it's been a little while since I've had the pulpit, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight in my home church of over 18 years. This is one of the only churches in my whole life that I've known, and it means a lot to me. I have really, and I know it's been said, but I'm going to say it, like I have really appreciated the church even more after the absence, like being together in the house of God. It's just been super awesome. Last couple Sundays, I look forward to Sundays every week, even more than I used to, amen? So I was talking to a friend, and I just started sharing just the benefits of being in a home church. You know, the Bible says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. And so I really encourage you to come Sunday, and don't just come Sunday, but connect with people. You know, it's like Pastor Vegas was saying, just because we, can't be super close physically doesn't mean our hearts can't be close, and we can't. There is a difference in coming here. And I'm really grateful that we have our doors open to be able to, our outdoor doors that aren't on yet are open for us to be there. Anyway, the title of my message tonight is I Am Loved Outside of My Performance. And can I get 1 John 4:16 up? And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you. We just lift up your people. We lift up your word. We thank you that it's blessed. We thank you, Father, there's a connection that you would speak through me, that you would speak to every heart in deep places. Jesus, we pray for just an increase in your healing ministry, that the Lamb of God would receive all of the praise and glory for what he purchased, and that includes healing, physical and emotional, and every other type of healing that you came to do, Jesus. You've done so much in my life, and I just thank you for the testimony being is this the spirit of Jesus? Is the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. So as you fill this message, I thank you in advance by faith that you will just change people's lives, and it will be reproduced. No one will feel left out because you are not a respecter of persons. You have loved each one of us, and you are moving in a powerful way on this earth, and it just really starts and ends with love. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a testimony. I've never shared this testimony. I don't know if I've ever shared a testimony like this. I'm going to read it, which is very rare for me. I am loved outside of my performance. What does this statement make you feel? Think about it. But more than mentally or analytically, how does it make you feel? Tonight I want to tell you a testimony of how the gospel broke through in my life. That statement, I am loved outside of my performance, connects me to a little boy in me who was looking around when that statement is stated and is asking for someone to correct the statement, to stand up for him. It's wrong. because it's wrong. To validate why he feels he has to perform to get what he wants or needs in life, which is attention, validation, a sense of belonging, love. This can't be right. There's something wrong. Somebody do something. I feel anger. Part of me wants to tell you that it's not correct. Don't give people a license to not perform. After all, if I have to, they should too. I feel shame. Part of me feels unworthy of such a statement, even if it is true. Let me keep performing. After all, Let me keep performing. At least then I'll feel like I deserve it, like I earned it, or at least I tried. You see, as a child, Pablito, that's little me, learned that he could get attention, validation, and some sort of a sense of belonging by doing good things. At home, at school, on the sports fields. Doing good things is, well, good, right? A byproduct happened. A lie formed in me. A lie that no one intended, but it happened anyway. This lie told me that I'm not worthy of attention, validation, a sense of belonging. The lie said, I'm not worthy of love just by being me. That lie went unnoticed, though, under the radar, under the surface, but it was there. Years later, on May 9th, 1994, I met an amazing savior in a side room of a Presbyterian church, and I fell in love. It was the beginning of something beautiful, amazing, a great adventure. A year and 2 months later, I was on my way to attend Bible college in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Then I went on to a Christian university in neighboring Tulsa. I then returned to California, and about a year later, I met Drew and Tamara Cohen, the pastors of a cool church in Pico Rivera, California, Hope Community Church. We hit it off. Our hearts were on the same page, and I was on the road to become Pastor Paul. Over the years, fast forwarding years, and generally speaking, when difficult times came, like they do for all of us, I found myself in touch at different times with that lie, I'm not worthy of love just by being me. Now, you may have been inwardly asking while I've been sharing, Pastor, inwardly you might be, have been wondering, Pastor Paul, why don't you read the Bible, especially the verses on how much he loves you? That's what you needed to hear, right? Yes, that is what I needed to hear. But more importantly, that's what I needed to receive and believe. Like that verse that we had up, whoever believes the love. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Over the years, God has sent a number of people to tell me of his love in direct and personal ways, prophetically. I remember one time, Pastor Shayla might remember this. We were together at the Jesus Culture Conference in Hollywood. And at the end of the service, I realized that there was a young adult man in a tank top praying for me. He told me that God had sent him down there to pray. And when he finished praying, he told me that God wanted me to feel his love, to know that he was proud of me, to know that he was for me. He said some beautiful things, and they went straight to my heart. So why didn't that fix the situation? It helped for a bit, for sure. But you see, I had built up what is called an aversion to need. That means that the part of me that felt shame or unworthy didn't want to need people, or maybe felt too hurt to try. That part of me had learned real well to act like everything was going fine. Put on a front, wear a mask, a facade. After all, needing others is the opposite of being able to be strong and to perform. God didn't make me to be strong and have it together and not need others. He made me with needs, lots of them. Needs that would require me to be in relationship with others for them to be met, himself, number one. I was living opposite of how God made me. The Bible calls this pride. Please note, not everyone who acts in pride is doing so because they want to go against God. It may be because they are covering up hurts and lies from their lives, maybe their pasts. So what did I do when I found this out? I found safe people to be my broken self around, to tell the truth about how I was feeling, thinking, doing, or thinking of doing. I shared about the tension between what I knew the Bible said about me and how I felt inside. In this community, something happened. I experienced love, acceptance, no judgment, belonging. Some of my walls over time began to come down. I was becoming known. And I have, in parentheses, Pastor Joel, I have, see the podcast. We did a podcast on being known by God. Overall, this process changed me and something wonderful happened. I didn't feel the need to perform in order to earn love. I was receiving it by being known. The lie that I'm not worthy of love by just being me began to die. After all, God's love is like water, which always travels to the lowest place. So, that's a little branch of my testimony. You know, I always wondered. Yeah. Amen. You know, I always wondered. People would talk about their testimony. They'd share these powerful moves of God, how they got saved, and I was kind of ashamed of my testimony. And I realized that our testimonies are being formed every day. Every time we turn to God, every time we overcome sin, or every time we overcame, and I haven't overcome, but we have a choice every day, like that song that Kyla was talking about, laying this life down, his life is better, something to that effect. So I just want to spend just a few more minutes with a couple of verses. I thought I was just going to share that, and then I recorded it into a tape recorder, and it was only like 9 minutes. It was probably a little bit longer right now, but anyway, it it gives me an opportunity just to share, first of all, is it biblical? And, you know, a little bit, a couple things about what God says about love. Ephesians 3, can we get Ephesians 3 up there? There's some powerful prayers that are in the Bible. It's always good to pray the Bible. Always. It's the inspired word of God. And God said through an amazing man with an amazing name, Pablo. El dijo por Pablo, Pablito. They say the palm means little, like small one. One of us is small, me or the other Paul, I don't know. But he's big and he's big in his words. For this reason, verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, I submit to us tonight, church, that this world needs his love. But like I learned, I can't just say, oh, they need his love. Oh, they need his love. Oh, somebody else in the church, I need his love. And how can I have to be real with my need for his love every day. I need to be real with all of my needs, the way he made me, because that draws them to the truth. What I learned to do was, you know, if you ask anybody that knows me, they would never say that I'm a liar. And you could never tell me, you know what I mean? I'm not like if I'm hanging out with Carlos over here and somebody calls, telemarketer calls, tell him I'm not here. Like, sorry, bro, you're here. Answer it. You deal with him. You know what I mean? In fact, I had like probably a moral superiority about that. But telling the truth means a whole lot to me at this stage in my life, because what's really going on, and it's not just to glorify the enemy, or it's not to wallow in self-pity, or it's to find out how to connect with the truth. And how are they, I'll say it in the positive, are much more likely to connect with the truth, the desire of the nations, when we are being real as a church. There are people literally dying. And they don't know that Savior that I met at Emmanuel Presbyterian. They don't know him. They don't know his love. They won't let him in. There's a generation, and all the generations are just so broken from one thing or another. How do we heal? How do we heal? Jesus is the answer, but he uses his church. He uses people that are willing to say, I was messed up, or I'm messed up right now. Some of those things I said are present tense. When I wrote this and I said the words, I'm not worthy of love by just being me, I cried. I felt it. There's still a part of me. It's not all of me, but we have parts. There's innermost parts, the Bible says, David says, that still feels that little boy. And I just want you guys to notice in these verses in Ephesians that it talks about knowing the love of Christ. And you know, that word know, K-N-O-W, it's not mental assent. That's why I said in the beginning, Don't look at this as analytically or mentally only. Because if you also, if you know me, you know I know a lot of Bible verses. And that doesn't mean that they knew me. Oh, that's good. Man, that's funny that just came out because, man, you know, I'm just going to, it's not in the notes, so just listen to, that's not where it's at. Man, I love this. You know, we know the verse, you might know that verse, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. It goes straight from talking about the word to talking about how his eyes, his sight, naked. We're supposed to come to God naked and unashamed like they did. That hasn't changed. We're supposed to just be us and have places where, not everywhere, you only want to share something that I described with people that you want a real relationship with. People that are safe. And talk to your pastors about what that means. Don't just go, and by the way, the internet's not safe. Okay, don't put it on Facebook. Amen, that's inspired by the Lord right there. Don't just throw it out there on Instagram and InstaFamous and Snap, Crackle, Pop and all those things. Don't do that. Because that's just not. Pastor Shayla had a great word recently. Very convicting word for me. I told her. I said, wow, that was for me. About social media and how we need to just be good on there. Anyway, you know, I just want to close with Luke 15. Let's look at that verse. You know, no, let's go back to Ephesians, sorry. I didn't really cover that. This is an anointed prayer, Ephesians 1, I think 16 through 23, and then 14 through 21 of chapter 3. That word to know, well, that's what I was starting to say, to know the love of Christ, that is epignosis, that is an experience. That's more than mental assent. That's the same word that they said that Adam knew Eve. You know, that they talk about that. There's an intimacy there. There's an intimacy that comes, and intimacy, as the late, great Jack Frost would say, it means into me, see. Into me, see. I have to let people into me to see what's really going on, because if I don't, then I'm not telling the truth. I'm not putting myself in a position to need God. And, you know, those verses that we say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, those are for people who need strength. And verses like 2 Corinthians where it says, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Those are for people who are in touch with their weakness. Those are for people who qualify. And if we are trying to be strong and knowledgeable and all these things, and you guys know the caveat is in ourselves. You know, he's made us, we have the mind of Christ, and we have so much when we're in him. But when there's a direct correlation to knowing, experiencing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, it doesn't make sense. It's taken me so many years to deconstruct that I'm valuable because I do well. I'm valuable because I perform. I'm valuable, and to now, I don't, now I'm so, like, and I know I live loved so much more, and now I want to do his will. I want to honor him. I want to serve him. I want his name carved all over this earth so we can bring as many people with us. And yet, I don't have to, I'm not performing. You know, in the prayer movement, there's a statement that is awesome. Lovers accomplish so much more than workers. Lovers accomplish so much more. They get so much more done than slaves. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that you should be called a child of God. I am not an orphan. I am a child. I lived for years it's so funny because I'm 5'23". You know what I'm saying, Carlos? Did you know that? 6'11", 6'10", 6'10". I'm 6'10" now. I shrunk an inch. And I love you, Angel. And I am the tallest people that some people know, tallest person that some people know. And yet I have lived so much of my life feeling small, feeling invisible. That is a reality that I just never told anybody. I just lived it. And guys, I'm sharing this because we all have this. What's your story? What I started with this message, I said, you know, Lord, what is hindering us from receiving and believing your love? Because that is what's hindering other people in the world that you love so much from receiving it and believing it. What is hindering me from receiving and walking in the love of the Father, which is an extravagant, amazing love? This is a message that's so much more than, I remember going witnessing with one of the young people, and he just said, Jesus loves you, 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 to every single person, and his heart was right, but I had to talk to him and say, hey, you know, see, what people need is something personal. They need us to come on their level, knowing that we're not up here, we're not high and mighty, we are right where they are. And you know, it doesn't matter how far we are on the road, it doesn't matter how far down the road we are, all anyone can just turn to God. And they're on the same road, and it just matters what direction you're going and how fast you're running with God. You know, the Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. You know, I said in that podcast with Pastor Joel and the other guys, you know, that when I have this memory of kind of when I found Jesus, I loved him. I was in touch with a love. Like, I just wanted to love him, and I wanted to know him. And don't get me wrong, he has ministered his love to me. I remember in Bible college, he pulled off so much, you know, scarage and bondage and just things, you know. And but I made this kind of decision to up the ante and say, you know what, Jesus, you chose the right person. I'm gonna serve you well. And those are not bad words. Pastor Joel was like, I want to say amen, but I don't think I'm supposed to. Remember that? But in the podcast, but it's that's my point. It's a nuance. It's a small thing to realize that. Wait a minute. The Bible says that we're co-laborers together with him, and there's a big difference. And when I'm allowing him to love me, then I'm allowing. Then I have, you know, the Bible says freely we have received, freely we have received, freely give. Man, that's a good word, because that verse, freely we have received, freely give. Do you know what it says in that context? Pastor Wilkerson, Gary Wilkerson taught us this, and taught me this. And he just, him and his wife would get up and pray and ask God for that verse, and it the context is Jesus tells them, go raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick. That's what we can give when we are freely receiving. Man, I just wonder what other parts of my life I'm holding back the flow of God because I think, because of my self-sufficiency, perceived self-sufficiency. I think I can do it. I think I have enough. You know, 1 Timothy 6 talks about, is it gives a warning to those who are rich that they don't trust in their riches, but that they trust in the living God. And I don't know of anyone, and I wouldn't stand up and give an altar to an altar call that says, hey, who's rich? And yet I have so many things. I mean, look at these beautiful clothes I have on. Look at these, look at the beautiful people that are here. We're not lacking anything. Look at this Shaka Shack hat from Monroe, Indiana. Shaka Shack. Matt Moore, my buddy. Man, I could so easily just, I don't know. I don't have to wonder where a meal is coming from. I'm either going to my taco truck after this or I'm going to Joshua's favorite place. Hey, man. The chicken place. What's it called, Joshua? Raising Cane's. Shouldn't say businesses. The taco truck, yeah. Oh, taco truck, Shayla? All right. That's a blessing. It's the blessing of God. But let me tell you, God, you know what the grace of God can do? I can have tacos with some close friends, my family. This is my church family. And I can still know that I need God for the next breath. Is that possible? The grace of God makes that possible. I don't have to be a jerk just because I have a $20 bill in my wallet. I don't need to be poor to be humble. But I also, that's to be humble is to live the way God intended us to live. Amen. Amen. Sorry for just, I don't know, if it's too somber. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray. Let's just come into agreement. Like I said in the beginning, the healing ministry. You came to set the captives free, Jesus. You came to heal the brokenhearted. There are people living in their own personal hells, and they don't know how to get help. They don't know how to open up. They don't know how to cry out. God, and right now in Jesus' name, we loose the angels of God, the ministers, your flames of fire to minister, to heed the voice of your word that we send out right now to go to the highways and byways. Oh God, I know now why you said, Jesus, in the last days that you told us, well, there are people who are invited to the house and they wouldn't come, we'll go out there and go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. You said that you did not come to heal those who are already healed. You came to heal those who are in need of a physician. You came to heal those who are in need of a Savior, to deliver. And Father, we declare that's us. Lord, help us, if anyone that can relate to my story, to the message, help us to come off the performance treadmill and meet you right there. You are so faithful. You are so trustworthy. You are so amazing. You will be right there to meet every single person. Help us to lay down our reputation. Father, I pray for pastors, for ministers, especially missionaries that feel like they can't be themselves. They can't be known. They can't be honest. They're all over our country. We've had some end their lives. And I'm sure it's part of this. Father, we pray, come into agreement for a revolution, for an absolute transformation of your body. You said judgment will come first to the house of God. That's an inspection to see if we're fit. We're fit when we know that we need you. When we know that I, in myself, I am absolutely nothing. I have nothing. I know nothing. I can do nothing. I have no abilities. I couldn't walk up these steps without you. I couldn't cut my hair without you, Jesus. I couldn't put two vowel consonant syllables together. Couldn't remember my name without your grace, Jesus. Without your grace. And God, I am so happy to be able to say these words with a true and honest heart. And I pray that would be reproduced in people's lives through our video, through everyone in everyone's in this place, through people that we come in contact with. Help us to be known. After all, Jesus, you said in your word that some people you'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you, you said. Jesus, I want you to know me. Lord, help us to invite you into those places that we have pushed aside. Maybe we've gone to other things to feel better, to medicate. In Jesus' name, I declare no shame, no condemnation. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us. One of the reasons the church is so judgy sometimes is because we feel judged. So we feel like we need to judge. God, help us to know that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and identify that, and to feel that, and to have our safe people, our peers, our peeps, just look into our eyes and validate us as we share truth, and then let the new truth, let it be a new reality, let it be a new paradigm, let it be a new lifestyle, because we're coming up to that. Because we're coming up to that. Let there be real change. Let there be real change in our lives. Some of us have tried to change, and the problem is that we're trying to change. Jesus, 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 the greatest. How could you go to the cross, Jesus? Because you are so secure in your love from the Father. You emptied yourself of everything. You are the great desire of all nations. You are Yeshua HaMashiach. We worship you tonight. You are here in this place, and we honor you. We honor you. We thank you that you're making an indelible mark in every single heart, in every single mind, in every single life, every single child. Father, help parents, Father. Help parents raise their kids to know their needs, to be comfortable with their needs, to know that they'll be met. Give them emotional attunement to their kids. Let it be supernatural. Let it be supernatural. I love that story of Jack Hayford's mom. He spent the night somewhere with his kids at his friend's house, and he looked at something, a magazine that he wasn't supposed to look at. And the next day, he walked in the house feeling so low, feeling so ashamed. And his mom supernaturally knew that something was going on, and she worked with him right then, and they dealt with it right then, instead of it growing into something giant. God, let those occurrences happen in families. Let intimacy flow. Let the rivers flow, God. Let them flow. Let them flow to the lowest places. Let us know that we can just that you're faithful. We can be weak. Give us those places. Give us those settings. Give us that community. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It was a couple years ago. I think it was the beginning of 2018 that the Holy Spirit inspired me and says, I want you to learn your story. I was like, say what? I have a story? We all have a story. That story is to connect dots in my life, and I pray over our church that is called to be a beacon of light and is a beacon of light and called to increase and expand and have influence that will blow our minds, grow. That we would know our stories. Holy Spirit, And you know, one powerful way to know your story, I encourage everyone at home, in a private place, whatever, just to ask Jesus, go to a place of hurt in your life and ask him sincerely, where were you? Where were you when that person did that to me or said that to me or ignored me? Or where were you? I dare you to do that, because that, let him reveal himself. Let him reveal truth. And that's just one small practical way of a prayer that he'll answer that will show us a piece of our story that will connect us to his ultimate story. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We magnify you. You are awesome. We love your ministry, Jesus. We love to be a part of your ministry. We love to be part of your prayer ministry, Jesus. We love it. We love to agree with you. What an awesome ministry, Jesus. You are at the Father's right hand, interceding for the saints. Interceding for the saints. Interceding. Father, I pray that you give me, and I know others will agree with this, a greater burden and yoke for prayer. That's directly related to my need. If I need something, I need to ask for it. If I think I have it, then I don't ask. But just as importantly, as people need you. And this thing is wrapping up. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's wrapping up. Oh, it's wrapping up. I know there's so many that just want to be in the complete position to be vessels of honor in these last days. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.